This is Monday Sales Coach. I'm Peter Giannoli, connecting you to a community of sales champions both on radio and online. We've got the site, the place where you can get all of the great material when it comes to helping you in your sales domination. Awesome podcasts, social media, plus, of course, our regular newsletter. That's MondaySalesCoach.com. Please join us there. No matter how often I tell salespeople to stop using email and find a way to talk to clients on the telephone, I'm a realist. Email will always be a salesperson's default go-to. So if that's the case, I may as well summon up all of my resources and help salespeople write the best emails possible. This episode makes a start. Let's get started. So the seven ways you're projecting insecurity over email is what I've entitled this episode. And if you portray insecurity over your email, there's no way in the world your clients are going to open it nor read it. So insecurity is a poison in any sales relationship. That goes face-to-face, but also on email. If your prospect picks up any anxiety or self-doubt, they'll lose respect for you, and more importantly, they won't believe your recommendations are anywhere near of any value. So what can you do to project confidence? It's tricky, especially because in sales, you often go from feeling like a champion to a failure in a single week. Sometimes it could be in a single day. So one of the easiest areas to tackle this is email. Prospects can't see your face, nor can they hear your voice. Meaning, if you follow these suggestions, you'll instantly make them seem confident. So here are the seven things that will make you appear insecure, but more importantly, how you can fix them. Advice point number one is make sure you don't write too much. Emails that go on and on scream insecurity. After all, if you believe your message is powerful and compelling, you don't need to write a book. Next time you're sending an email for the first time that's 3+ paragraphs, stop and pick out the most compelling point and delete the other sections. You can send those in follow-up emails. As an added benefit, this makes your messages more varied and gives the buyer a reason to keep opening them. So just make sure you don't leave out the call to action. Of course, that's one of the most important points of your message. Number two is make sure you don't start an email by apologizing. Do you ever begin your emails like this? Hey, apologies for contacting you out of the blue. Hope I'm not bothering you. I'm sorry to trouble you. I know we haven't met, but hopefully you don't mind me reaching out. I know emails like these can be annoying, so I'll get right to the point. If you've done any of that, well, they may have had the best intentions and you want to show consideration to your prospects. However, starting with an apology simply implies you don't think you're worthy of the buyer's time. So if you believe in your product's value and you've done some basic qualifications to ensure your prospect is a potential fit, and more importantly, the email you're sending is a valuable one, then guess what? You're not wasting their time. You're actually helping them. Point three, too many salespeople nowadays are using too many emojis. Emojis can add personality to your email and they can make them seem a little more memorable, but it's very easy to go overboard. If every line has its own symbol, you look like you're trying way, way, way too hard. So, how many emojis is too many? Well, that kind of depends on the market. In many conservative industries, just one smiley face could be completely inappropriate. Yet, someone in an informal modern industry, well, they might be a little bit more receptive to it. So factor in your company's brand as well. If it's playful, you can be playful too. If it's relatively buttoned up, rein in the emojis and the smiley faces. I imagine really the final recommendation about emojis is when in doubt, leave it out. You can always wait and see what your prospect does, and if they use a smiley face or an emoji back, well, then you're free to start using them in the follow-up emails. But err on the side of caution here. Point number four is be careful about using exclamation marks. I admit it, I used to have a real exclamation mark problem. Anytime I wrote an email without one, I worried as I felt as though I came across as cold. But then I realized most of the emails I get from other people don't include exclamation marks, and I wasn't thinking they were rude. Those messages simply seemed more professional. So as a consequence of that, I rarely use exclamation marks nowadays. They're rarely necessary, especially in a sales context. You sound 10 times more composed and sure of yourself when you're not ending any sentence with a huge exclamation mark. Point 5, don't go too far with the flattery. Salespeople often throw in phrases that highlight their prospect's intense work schedule. They include statements like, "Look, I'm sure you're busy. As general manager, you must have a lot on your plate. I know your schedule is probably jam-packed. Is there any way I could borrow just a few minutes of your time? You can't have much extra time, so I promise I'll be quick." Well, unfortunately, prospects interpret these lines as, "You're busy and I'm not." You lose a lot of authority in their eyes, and if your time isn't in demand, your product must not be either. To avoid this, stop mentioning how busy your prospects must be. Come out and ask them for their time instead. Here's a better way to do it. I have some recommendations around product X. Are you free at 4 o'clock on Wednesday to discuss them? Don't pussyfoot around. Go straight to the call to action. And point 6 is a bit similar to that. Stop using wishy-washy words. Words that weaken your statements will make you seem less confident. To illustrate, here's a watered-down line. "I think your company may be able to benefit from solving X doing Y." Well, using "I think" or "may" would be fine, but both in the same sentence sounds like you're totally unsure. Read through your email for wishy-washy language. Words like "just," "maybe," "potentially," "might," "I think," "I believe," "I'm guessing," "I suspect," "I have a hunch," "I'm not sure but," "I could be wrong but," "it's possible that," "there's a chance." Those words, if you want to see them, go to the podcast transcript download and download it, because all these starters are in there. And you need to know these, because you've got to remove these terms when possible. Obviously, you don't want to make promises you can't keep or statements you can't back up. Saying you could be losing $20,000 per year is far preferable to you're losing $20,000 per year. But is it? Unless you can definitely prove the latter. So be more direct. Get rid of the wishy-washy terms. And number 7, the final one, is writing in capitals. Okay, we know the Don, the great Donald Trump, does, but you might be confused by this point. Doesn't using cap locks make your message and by extension you seem more important? Well, that's what he thinks. But in fact, it does the opposite. Capitalizing entire words comes across as overly aggressive, as though you don't trust your message to sound urgent on its own. So if you see urgent in U-R-G-N-T capital letters next to something, well, I think it's being rude and obnoxious. Which would you be more likely to open? Probably one that doesn't have it screaming at you. It seems less spammy and it seems more legitimate. There's almost never a justifiable reason to use capital locks in a sales email. So I tell you, pretend the button doesn't actually exist on your keyboard. When it comes to sales, fake it until you make it. You might be a brand new sales development representative, a recent hire, and you're nervous behind your computer screen. But there's no reason your prospects have to know that. An assertive email will help you capture their interest. It will build credibility and down the line will win the deal. You've got to learn to master email. And if you master these 7 things, or better still, if you don't include these 7 things in your email, you'll go a long way towards doing what an email should do for you, which is open the door, start a relationship so you can get in front of your client. That's it for this week's episode of Monday Sales Coach. I'm sure you found it valuable. Go to my website, mondaysalescoach.com, sign up for next week's edition, and you'll be first to have it on the weekend so that you can arrive on Monday fired up and ready to sell. I'm Peter Giannoli. Thank you for listening. Bye till next week. Happy selling.